know, the fact of it is that Jesus does change everything. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of issues. Don't say amen too much in here, because a lot of you know me. I've got a lot of issues. And it's a privilege for me to be able to preach here this morning, because you get to listen to one of the greatest communicators in our country week in and week out for 25, 20 so years. And today is a very simple message, but I think it has some very profound truths to it. It's a story in Scripture that you've heard many a year, if you will. But in that, I don't know about you, but I need God to speak to my heart today. God's laid this message on my heart for weeks now. And as you're sitting there today, if you're in here and you say, Jeff, I really need God to do something in my life today. If that's you this morning, I just want you to lift your hand and say, Jeff, I need God to do something in my life. I'm going to go ahead and put two hands up. The fact of it is that we all should have our hands up, right? Because we're all messed up, right? There's nobody in here that has it all together. We all have issues that we have to deal with, or let the Lord deal with, if you will. There's an issue that I have, and I've had it for a long time. You say, oh, here comes the preacher. It's confessional time. Well, yeah, just a little bit. I'm scared to death to fly. I am. In fact, I've been dealing with this issue for a long time. In fact, there's a lot of things that I have to do to get ready to fly. In fact, way before I get in a plane, I check the radar on the day that I'm getting ready to fly to check the weather from wherever I'm leaving from to wherever I'm going to. Amen. I check the weather. And another thing I do is I check to see what size of plane that I'm going to get on, like that makes any difference. And then when I get into the plane, Rachel is so interesting. She's here today. She this morning, not like she don't ever come to church, but she's here this morning. Hey, I got to be careful. And so Rachel knows I have all these issues, and you know, we've flown all over the place and doing ministry, and so when I go into the plane, I talk to everybody. Yeah, I know you can imagine. I mean, I talk to everybody. In fact, when I enter, when you go to the counter, you check in, I say, how y'all doing today? And I said, oh, it's a good day to fly, isn't it? Because I want some reassurance that this is going to be okay today, isn't it? And after listening to what happened this week, I'm like, I'm not going to sit by the window, by the engine. Hello. God bless us all now. But in essence, I talk to the people at the counter. Then I go into the plane and I look in to see who's flying the plane. Is he young? Is she young? Is he old? Is she old? Like that's really going to matter. And so I look in, and then I see the stewardess, and I look at her, and I say, you've had a good day today, haven't you? And she looks at me, well, yeah, has it been a rough day? So if she says, well, no, it's going to be a good day today, and I'm like, well, I'm happy. And then I get in, and I go in, and I sit every time I fly. I love to sit by the window. And the reason I love to sit by the window is so I can look out and I can literally try in my mind to fly the plane as we're flying. Like, please go over that cloud, go under that cloud. You know, I'm flying the plane in my mind. That's how you're like, dude, I'm sitting here listening to a guy who's really messed up. I'm sorry. And so I'm sitting in a plane. I'm sitting right beside Rachel. And all of a sudden, you know how you take off and you get in that plane, you take it off, and they go, huh. And as soon as it gives that first little, huh, a lot of times I grab Rachel's hand. And then Rachel looks at me, don't touch my hands. Because now Rachel doesn't have like a lot of mercy. I'm sorry. It's going to be a tough lunch today. And so, yeah, at Ottawa Baptist Church, when I, church I used to work at a long time ago, they did a personality profile test in the scale. And Rachel and our executive pastor are the only two that get, they graded minus on mercy. And thank goodness she did, because if she had a lot of mercy, I would be in trouble, because I need a lady that, I need my woman to be tough on me, because I'm basically a kept man, like many of you. Go ahead and admit it. You know who you are, Jolie, you especially. And so I'm sitting there playing. I grab Rachel's hand. That's going up and down. I'm like, oh, going crazy. I grab a hold. And then if we hit a little bit of turbulence, boom, I go wide. Like my width is somehow going to help the bounce of the plane. My friend David Landreth, I hated to fly with him, because he would fly with me and he said, we'd be over the ocean going on a mission trip somewhere, and he'd look at me and said, what if one of those little bolts just popped? Boom, you're through. And I said, shut up. It's like, ah! I got a lot of issues. And fear of flying is one of them. What's your issue today? What's your issue? Fear? What's holding you back from really experiencing all of what God has in store for you today? See, if we'd be honest, all of us in here, if we'd be honest with ourselves, that we all have some issues. Because there's no one righteous, no, not one. There's nobody here perfect. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of 1 Samuel 17. This is a story, like I said earlier, it's a simple message, but I think it has a very profound truth to it. 1 Samuel 17, verse 8. We're going to walk through this story that you've heard many a time. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you're not a servant of Saul, the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down here to me. Goliath, all 9'6", had a guy walking with him to carry his shield, if you will. Big man. He was, like the scripture says, he's the champion fighter. The champion. You know, today I'm wearing an orange and white shirt. Yesterday, Tennessee won. So, and my son played for the orange team, and yesterday we really, really won. And so, but I'm wearing an orange and white shirt because we won. And Philistine army had the champion. Goliath was the winner, the man. And you have on this side of the hill, if you will, the Philistine army. And on this side, you had the Israelite army. And the Philistine army had Goliath day and night come out and shout, if you will, to the ranks of Israel, bring me a man worthy of me of killing. Because there's no one going to kill me. And there was this Israelite army, if you will, in fear. Because they didn't have anyone that wanted to, desired to go up against this giant, this champion. And then there was this shepherd boy who daily would go to the ranks of Israel, if you will, and help his brothers. It would give him, his brothers were there at the line of battle, that he would serve them food and he would take care of them, and he would come back day in and day out. And as he went to the battle lines of Israel, battle lines, and he would hear Goliath shouting to the ranks of Israel, he would look at his brothers trembling, if you will, in fear. This sitting, standing, not doing anything. And he's looking at his brother and saying, why don't you do something about this guy? And they're looking at him saying, do you look and see how big this guy is? He's not your normal man. And he said, man, I feel like God wants me to do battle with this Goliath. So David goes to Saul. And he said, I'm the guy who can fight this Goliath. Can you imagine what the king looks at him and said, Saul looks at him and said, you're just a shepherd boy. You're not even a true man that's in the army. You're a guy who's taking care of the sheep. And guess what he said? He said, David said, hey, I'm the guy who killed the bear. I'm the guy who killed the lion. See, what happens is David is spending a time of reflection, if you will, with Saul to build a resume on how God had already used him. Because God is calling David to a mission of killing Goliath, if you will. It's amazing. If all of us would realize this, me included here, that God has a plan and mission for all of us. Is our mission bigger than our fear? David's call, his mission was much bigger than his fear. And so he said, I'm going to do it. I feel called to do this. I feel called to do this ministry, if you will. I'm not worried about the size. I know that God is with me because he's called me. I deal with a lot of people and have heard a lot of folks over the past 35 years of ministry, and I think it's even more prevalent, if you will, today. Folks are dealing with anxiety, stress, fear. Maybe a lot of people in this room, I just shared with you the fear that I have of flying. But you know, one thing I learned a long time ago about flying, it never stopped me from my mission. And I realized a long time ago that my call is much bigger than my fear. I am more than conquerors through Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So in essence, David's call, if you will, was much bigger than Goliath 9-6. And he was a champion fighter, if you will. Second thing is, David used the gifts that God had given him. Folks, there's a lot of giftedness in this room. But my question is, are you using the gifts that God's given you? See, as he went to Saul, he said, hey, I'm gonna fight. Remember the bear and the lion. I've defeated those guys. They were big animals, but I defeated this. I can whip this Goliath, and Saul bought into it. Okay, you're the man. So I'm going to put the armor that I have on you so you'll be ready to fight. And David said, no. Don't give me your armor. I'm going to use the gifts that God's given me. See, what happens to us, a lot of times we conform to the world and we want to be just like the world. And God said, no. Don't be like that. Be like what I have for you. Use my gifts. I'm going to talk to you right now about three things as you look at David's gifts. If you look at what fear comes from, why would you not respond to God's call? Why would you not use the gifts that God's given you? Well, maybe I'm bound by fear because fear comes from our conditioning. Fear comes from our conditioning. A lot of times we're bound by fear, not responding to the call, not using the gifts, because you know what? We were raised around folks that said, no, I'm going to raise you in a cloud of fear, not faith. I'm not gonna let you do this. I'm not gonna let you do that because I want to almost protect you, and you almost conditioned to fear because of the environment that you've been around, or the environment that you're around. Your parents here today, and you want to cocoon your kids. Hello, I understand. I have three kids. Fixing to have a grandbaby, another grandbaby today, maybe. All right. And we want to protect our kids, but please, parents, don't condition your kids to fear. Let them learn to experience things. Now, I know there's levels of that, but a lot of times we've been conditioned to fear, and we don't want to respond to the call or use the gifts because the way we've been conditioned. Fear also comes from our concealing. Now, what does that mean? We have issues in our lives that we've concealed from everybody else. And we say, man, we can't go after that Goliath. We can't fight that Goliath because in essence, we have all these issues that we've not dealt with. And so the issues that are in the closet, if you will, are concealed, and they're holding us back from experiencing all of what God has in store for us. Don't miss that. We conceal all of our issues so nobody knows how we really are. And it's destroying us from the inside. And so in essence, that Goliath in our life is having victory because we're living in bondage to what we've had concealed for a long time. We've not given it over to the Lord. Third thing is this, fear comes from our controlling. See, you know, you think about me in that plane. I thought I had control of that plane. Get wide. Do all this stuff. Coach the plane as I... Now, that's weird, isn't it? Because that fear is an emotion. Right? That goes up and down. But the Lord is consistent. It's just not emotion. It is truth. So my faith is much bigger than my fear. But if I control things, then I'm in charge. Instead of letting go and letting God be in charge of my, as I ride the plane, then I find peace in my situation instead of living in fear as I try to control. David was called. David used the gifts that God had given him. And thirdly is this, David had the killer mindset. He said, man, that's kind of graphic. Well, just a little bit, but it is a war, okay? And so all of a sudden, you have David, and he has his gift, he has his slingshot in the rocks, if you will, and he's running to the battlefield. And listen to this, as he's running to the battlefield, he doesn't see Goliath in his 9-6. He's seeing Jesus because he's worshiping, if you will. You say worshiping? Yes. Worship is just not all singing. Your body is an act of worship. Worship is a verb, action or state of being. It's who you are as you're living life. David's living life on mission and using his gifts that God has given him. I'm going to give you four things. If you've got a pen and pencil, lipstick and mascara, I want to give you these four things that Jesus is saying to replace what the giant's saying to you. That giant that's yelling at you, I want to give you these four things to replace what the giant is saying. So you can remember these, okay? Remind yourself that God is able. Remind ourselves that God is able. David's going to the battlefield, running that battlefield to fight Goliath. He's saying, man, I'm not worried about the giant. God is more than able. Our problem is many times, do we really believe that? We like to say it, but do we believe it? Secondly is this, we set the Lord always before us. As David's running, he realizes this, God is able and God's going before me because he's called me. He's gifted me. Thirdly is this, we name, this is big, we name what is keeping us up at night. You probably don't have that issue. I had this issue. I wake up at night a lot of times with a giant yelling in my ear. You have dyslexia. You read everything backwards. You got all these issues. You can't. When you preach, you get so stressed out before you preach, you can't even hardly, I have all these issues. You're like, man, when we hired this guy? Yes. And so at night, when I'm landing in my bed and I have that giant yelling at me, and when you have that giant yelling at you, like he was yelling at the ranks of Israel, listen to me, name that giant. Name that giant. And then the four is this, fill our mouths with praise. As I'm laying in bed, I name the giant, and I'm gonna tell you something. I give it to Jesus, and I fill my mind and my mouth with praise of the Lord. And so in essence, as I'm running to battle with David, as David is facing the giant, he ran, he used the gift that God's given him. He slung that rock up there, hit that giant right there in the five head. Not the forehead, it's a five head. He's a big old head. He hit that giant right in the head, knocked him down, killed him. He just didn't stop there. What did he do? He ran and got the sword of the giant. And what did he do? He chopped his head off. I know this is graphic, but listen to what he did. Well, then he takes the head. He shows it to the Philistine army. And you know what he said? Our God is God. And don't you forget it. And then he turns to the rank of Israel and said, our God is God. Now, what do you think now the children of Israel were like before? They were like, oh my stars, look who's battling for us, David. And the Philistines are said, look at our giant, he's the man. Now, hello, the tide turned just a little bit. And so when he's like this to the children of Israel, look at this, our God is God. What do you think the children of Israel are doing? Kevin, you know what they're doing? They're going, yes, praise God. That's what we need to do. That giant that's yelling in your ear, you need to have victory over that giant today. David took that head and he brought it to Saul and he said this, look what we did. Not me, we. You know why? It wasn't all about David. It was God through David. You cannot have victory over that sin, that Goliath in your life. Jesus through you is the hope of glory. He was called. He used the gift that God's given him. He had the killer mindset, and last but not least, they celebrated the victory. Write this down. I think it's a good quote. Got this from Louis Giglio. The antidote of fear is faith. And the soundtrack of faith is worship. What David was doing, he was worshiping God. He was called, he used the gifts, God gave him the victory, and they celebrated what Jesus had done, God had done in their life. Perfect love cast out all fear. How do I have perfect love? when you know Jesus. That's perfect love. He and him alone cast out fear. That Goliath that's yelling at you, that sin that you've concealed, those issues that you've not let God deal with, why don't you let him today? Why don't you let God kill that giant in your life? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Don't anybody move. Just stay right there. I want to ask you a question. You're here this morning, say, Jeff, I've got a giant yelling at me. And I've not had victory in my life in a long time over this giant. Maybe it's something you've concealed. You know about it, and I'll tell you who else knows about it. God knows about it. He knows about it. And he's wanting you to have victory in your life if you would just give it to him. And let him celebrate with you having victory. Don't let the enemy, don't let the Goliath shout at you and bind you up. Let Jesus free you up today. If you're here this morning, say, Jeff, I know this is a simple sermon, but you say, Jeff, God is speaking to my heart right now. I have a Goliath that is wearing me out. He's shouting at me, and he knows right when to do it. Maybe it's fear you're dealing with. Maybe it's control. Maybe it's saying, I don't know what it is. You know, and God knows. If you're here this morning, say, Jeff, please pray for me. There's a lot of things that Goliath is shouting at me, and I'm not on mission with God because of that shout. I'm not using my gifts that God's given me because of that shout. In the quietness of this moment, if that's you, I want to pray for you. That you would have victory even today. That we would celebrate today with Jesus over that Goliath in your life. In the quietness of this moment, if that's you, I just want you to look at me. Lift your head and look at me in the face. I want to pray for you. Yes, sir. Yes, 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 yes. Balcony, yes, yes. All across the room, yes. Yes, yes, ma'am, yes, yes. Yes, ma'am. Would everybody here up look back up here at me a second, please? I'm going to pray for you. You know how, can you imagine when David raised that head of Goliath after he had the victory? And he raised it to the children of Israel. How they felt, the relief, the victory. Some of you need to do that right now. I'm going to pray for you, but I want to encourage you. Some of you need to get out of your seat and walk down here. And you need to confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He is faithful. Faith, the antidote of fear. He will cleanse you. But you know who has to confess? You. Because the Goliath is yelling at you. So I want to encourage you to come down here, get on your knees, and confess it to God, and have victory in your life. And you know what? Then after you confess it, look here. Go on. Go on. And when that Goliath starts yelling at you, use those four principles I shared with you earlier. But what Goliath wants to do, he wants to take you back into that yelling match again, that fight. You've already, God's had the victory over that one. Go on. Live in victory on mission. I'm going to pray for you. Just like the last service, the first service, when I said this, we had people coming down the aisle to the knees. Because they realize we're messed up. But Jesus, he took care of that. He loves us. I want to encourage you, as I pray, you come forward on your knees. It's going to play quietly. Don't you do business with the Lord, okay? Don't let the Goliath have the victory. Give it to Jesus. Lord, I pray for the men and women, the boys and girls, so many of them looked at me. And God, I pray as they come and get on their knees and confess to you their struggles. God, I pray that they would have the courage. They would give it to you. In Jesus' name I pray. You come. Come on.